First of all, before we start, the show's been out since 2016. It's been downloaded over 2 million times. I look on Apple Podcasts. I have less than 400 reviews. How the hell is that possible? Go on Apple Podcasts and leave a goddamn review of the show. Now let's get to the business.
StayAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. That aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
You know about the audios that I do every day, and you may even know about the videos, but did you know how I actually got my start in creating content online? It was through written material, and I still write every single day to this day. I want you to get my brand new articles that I write every day sent straight to your inbox, and all you have to do to get those articles free of charge is go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com. Right there, it'll be a form. All you have to do is put in your email address, and you will be getting every single morning a fresh new article written by me to help you with your mental game and how it will apply to your business, your sport, and your life to help you step your game up and become the person you need to be to do what you need to do to have the results you want to have in your life. Every day, I'm going to send you a brand new one. So if you're interested in that, while you're listening, go to workonmygame.com, put in your email address, and you'll be getting my brand new articles every single day starting tomorrow morning. Let's get to it.
You made the best decision that you could possibly make at this exact moment because you tuned in to the show where you learned the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work. Putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, which is the go-getter energy that moves anyone out there to go make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together in one bundle, one package, one philosophy, one mindset, one method, one book, one show. What you get is Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. Today's topic is why life is giving you the bare minimum. Why you feel like you should be receiving more from life, yet life is only giving you enough just to keep you alive from day to day, but nothing more than that. Why is that happening? I'm going to explain to you exactly why that's happening here today. And I'll illustrate, not why for you personally, but I'll illustrate a story that led to me talking about this subject. I was taking a walk in Miami one morning. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I saw three women crossing the street, a small street, to get into a car. Now, as I'm approaching this car, I was walking towards the car. The car is pulled up right there on the corner, right on the curb. And these three women are walking over to the car, and it's an Uber. And the driver has the, you know, the Uber and the Lyft go-go things in his windshield, and he's got his phone mounted up on the windshield and all that. I saw the women crossing the street. They all had suitcases, so they were apparently coming from a vacation or something like that, or maybe going on vacation. Well, they were coming from a vacation, and they were putting their suitcases in the trunk of the car. Now, the car was like a Honda Accord or Honda Civic, something like that. And the driver was sitting in the driver's seat. The trunk was open, and the women are putting their suitcases in there. And the driver, this man, he was just sitting there in the car, and he was, you know, maybe, I guess, checking in on the app, letting Uber know that he had picked up his riders or whatever they had to do when they pick up a rider. Now, the women are loading their suitcases into the trunk. As I walked past them, I saw them putting their suitcases in there. And I thought of the fact that the driver didn't even move. I mean, he never got out the car to help them with the suitcases, even though he saw that they had suitcases. And it made me think to myself, exactly what we're talking about here today, that this guy is giving a bare minimum effort. I mean, technically, he was doing his job, which is to be an Uber driver. I believe the bare minimum of the job is you register your car is available for pickups in your location. People hail an Uber. You pull up to wherever they are. They get in the car, whether they have extra stuff or not. They get in the car, you unlock the door, they get in the car. If they got a suitcase or something, they can put it in the trunk. You open the trunk so they can put their stuff in the trunk. They get in, you drive to their location, you let them out. You let the app know that you dropped that person off, and eventually you're going to receive payment for doing that ride. That's pretty much the gist of how it works, right? I've never done it, but I think that's the gist of how it works. So this guy was not messing up at his job. He was doing exactly what the job describes him to do. So I want to be clear. All right. Am I being clear? That he was doing exactly what the job describes him to do. The problem is he was doing the bare minimum what the job asked him to do. In other words, he wasn't doing anything different from the other, 50,000 people driving Ubers and Lyfts every single day all around the world. So why would he, or why should he, or why would he ever, or anyone for that matter, who's given the same level of effort at your job, whether you're an Uber driver, whether you're an accountant, whether you are a basketball player, if all you're doing is the bare minimum requirements of the job, which is the same as what damn near everybody else who has a job is doing, why would you ever receive anything different from what everybody else is getting? When I talk to people one-on-one, or I ask a room full of people, do you want to receive rewards that are outsized, that are different from what everybody else is getting, or do you want to get the same thing everybody else gets? Almost everybody says, invariably, they say, I want to receive more than what everybody else is receiving. I want to get bigger rewards. I want to make more money. I want to have a higher position. I want to be recognized by more people. I want to have more fans. I want to have a bigger audience. Everybody wants to have outsized rewards from what everybody else is getting. Yet at the same time that everyone is saying this, the majority of that everyone is only giving a bare minimum effort. You're only pulling up to the curb, letting people get in the car, seeing that they have bags, but you won't even get your ass out of the driver's seat to help them with the suitcase to just go the extra mile. I mean, it's not even a mile. How far is that walking? Three steps that you got to take to get to the trunk of your car to help these people with their bags. And he was only given a bare minimum effort. And here's the thing. This same guy, I bet if I was to find this guy and talk to him and ask him, hey, do you usually receive tips on the rides that you give when you're driving Uber? When your Uber is activated, do you usually get tips, gratuity? He will probably say no. I'm saying this. I'm going to say he'd probably say no because I went on some message boards to read, not to post, but to read about Uber and Lyft drivers. I looked up this specific issue of, do Uber and Lyft drivers help riders with their bags when they see that people have bags? And there was this one guy who wrote an impassioned post where he said, I usually don't because when I was first riding, the guy was like, I've given 500 rides. And whenever I help somebody with bags, I've even gone up to somebody's house and they had bags in the front door. I walked all the way up to the front door, got their bag, put it in the car for them, took it out when we got to the airport or wherever they were going and didn't give a tip, didn't get a tip. Or people will like my service and say, I'm going to give you a tip in the app. And then they don't give a tip in the app. I give all these rides and most of the people never tip. So I don't go above and beyond. I don't do extra. I don't help people with their bags anymore because nobody tips when they say that they're going to give a tip. So because I heard that guy say this and I saw many people seconding this in other posts on other message boards about Uber and Lyft driving, I'm going to assume that this driver who I saw this day, who he seemed very average, I only seen him once, but how you do anything is how you do everything. As they say, he seemed very average. I would guess if I asked him, does he get tipped on most of his rides? He would probably say no. And then if I asked him, how did he feel about the fact that he doesn't get tipped on most of his rides? He would probably have something negative to say about riders in general, like why they don't tip. I do this. There's a way to give tip. There's an option to give a tip in every ride. Every Uber or Lyft ride, you get a little receipt. And the next time you open the app, they ask you, hey, do you want to tip your driver? What was the rating and things like that? He would probably have some negative connotation to the fact that he doesn't get tipped that often. But the thing is, he's given a bare minimum effort. So why should he expect any more? And this is something that I talked about with, there was about a year or two ago, I had gotten a food delivery via, I don't know, Postmates, Grubhub, Uber Eats, one of those eating apps. And the next time I logged into the app, it asked me, did I want to leave a tip? Or asked me how much of a tip did I want to leave? It didn't actually ask me if I wanted to leave one. It wasn't a yes or no question. It was an amount question. How much of a tip do you want to leave? I didn't want to leave a tip at all. The driver didn't go above and beyond. They were not like extra courteous or anything like that. I'd already paid for the food and I paid a delivery fee via the app. I completed the transaction by the deal that they offer. You pay $16 for the food, a $5 delivery service, period. Now, a tip is a gratuity. A tip is extra. So if we have any service workers who are listening to this, I want you to listen very carefully to everything I'm saying here today. A tip is also known as a gratuity. The tip is like the technical term for what we call tips. Okay, gratuity means, it comes from the word gratuitous. Gratuitous means extra, above the standard, above the bare minimum. In order for you to receive a gratuity, which is above the bare minimum, you must give above the bare minimum. If you are a waiter, a waitress, a hairstylist, a barber, an Uber driver, a food delivery service driver, any other service business that people normally receive tips, what happens is, listen, I've worked in these industries. I've been a waiter before. Have I ever worked in any other service? I think waiter is the only thing I ever did. And I received tips when I did my little waiting at like Friendly's, Pizza Hut. These are places that I worked when I was in my teens. But I received my tips when I did those things. But understand something. A tip is not something you're entitled to. You're not entitled to a gratuity. You're not entitled to extra. But what I find when I'm hearing people talk about these things, people who work in these industries, is that they think they're entitled to a tip. So they size up a customer and think their customer won't give a tip. So they give bad service, or they give no service whatsoever, or bare minimum service, or they complain after the fact that the person that they served did not give a tip. And the reason why I brought up the food delivery thing is because I went on Twitter, right? And I found, let's just say it was Postmates, and I found their help account, and I tweeted that, hey, this app is asking me how much of a tip I want to give. I don't want to give a tip at all, but I can't get past this page without putting in some amount of a tip. How do I get past this page? Y'all shouldn't have it. And I said to them, y'all should not have this page like this, as if the way the page is set up, it basically doesn't give you any option to get out of it without giving the rider some type of tip, which is bullshit, because that's assuming that the rider is entitled to a tip, which they're not. And I told Postmates that y'all shouldn't have it set up in such a way that the average user is going to look at that and think that they have to give a tip, as if it's something that's required as part of your service, which it absolutely is not. And someone who had nothing to do with the conversation, and I'm not mad at them for jumping in it, because Twitter is a public conversation. Even if it's an app reply, it's still a public conversation. They jumped in the conversation and said, well, if you are not going to give a tip, maybe you shouldn't use the service. And y'all know how it is. This is the Facebookism, the skinny genification of a conversation in life, that someone's going to jump in and tell me that I'm wrong for even using the service because I was not willing to give a tip, or maybe they thought I wasn't able to give a tip. Who knows? Now, while I was completely capable, I could afford to have tipped this rider any amount that I wanted to tip this rider. I didn't want to because I didn't feel like they had earned anything. And again, I have worked in the service business, so I'm entitled to say this. And secondly, I'm making my case in this episode. I'm going to make a full case for why I feel this way. But this person who jumped in the conversation, don't know who they were. I believe they were a rider themselves. Actually, I do remember this. They jumped in the conversation. They said something. Somebody else jumped in. Like two or three people jumped in this conversation. All of them telling me some form of why I was wrong for not wanting to tip this Postmates driver. So a person said, if you're not going to give a tip, maybe you shouldn't use the service, you know. And then somebody else came in, you know, we work hard. We drive this many miles and put this much time, this many miles on our car. And we only get X number of dollars for each delivery that we do. You know, we live off the tips. So that was the argument. We live off the tips. So because we live off the tips and because that's really how we make our money, you should give us a tip. That is bullshit. Okay, that is the worst argument for why you deserve anything, is that that's the only way you're going to have anything is if somebody just hands it to you. That's bullshit. If you didn't earn it, then you don't deserve it. Just because you work as a Postmates driver or an Uber or a Lyft driver does not mean you deserve a tip. I don't give a damn if you were doing it for free and the only way you make money is tips. That doesn't mean I owe you a tip. That means you need to fucking earn the tip. Knowing that that's the only way you make money, you should be going above and beyond to make sure you get the money, which means you got to go above and beyond when it comes to your service, not browbeat the customers and tell them they should give you one because that's the only way you're going to eat. There's only so much charity that human beings have in them that you can't keep arguing to that. You can't keep going to the, well, look, this is the only way that I'm going to eat at all is if you give me some extra. So give me some extra. All right. There's only so many times you can make that argument before somebody's like, all right, when you want to earn some extra, or I just don't want to hear that shit. So they're not going to come around you. So they don't have to hear your pleas anymore. I mean, how often do you walk past a beggar on the street and ignore them or give them absolutely nothing? And even if you get them something, how much do you give them? A dollar? Some change out of your pocket? All right. So there's only so much charity all of us have, period. Okay. So that argument of, well, I only make a little bit for each ride that I do, so you should give me extra so that I can actually make some money. Well, either A, you need to step your game up. B, you need to change your attitude. Or C, you need to find a new job to where you don't have to make that argument and you can just get paid what you're, quote, worth, close quote, without having to make an argument to the customer as if something's wrong with them. Listen, I paid $20 for the food. I paid $6 for a delivery fee. Now, if Postmates is keeping all that $6, look, that's a situation between you and Postmates. All right, I paid the $6 delivery fee. It ain't my fault that ain't none of it going to you. Who signed up for this job, me or you? So anyway, we're still in the introduction here. Let's get into our points. Today's topic is why life is giving you the bare minimum. The reason is, I'm going to explain it out here in these points, is because you're giving a bare minimum effort, like this Uber driver that I saw in Miami this particular day, or the Postmates driver who I did not want to give a tip to, and I absolutely did not give a tip to. Postmates told me that the solution was just put in zero for the tip and then the page will go away. So any of you wondering how to get out of having to give a tip to somebody who has not earned one, then you just put in zero and then the tip goes away. If you happen to be a service worker, again, who was listening to this right now, you're probably pissed off at me right now. Maybe you've already turned this off by this point. If you're mature enough, I suggest you continue to listen because I'm going to build my case here and you're going to completely understand not only why you are not entitled to a tip, but also what you can do about it so you can actually start making the money that you feel you, quote, deserve. You should probably stop using that word deserve, because if you actually deserve something, you don't have to tell people you deserve it. You already have it. Point number one. Today's topic, again, is why life is giving you the bare minimum. The bare minimum, also known as the stated requirements, quote unquote, for what you do. That is not the total sum of your job description. It is the total sum of your job description, but it's not at the same time. See, if you have a job anywhere, I don't care if your job is you run your own business. You still got a job. You got a job to do every single day, right? If you work at a company and they have a job description, they tell you exactly what your job is. Anywhere you work, and all of us do some type of work, human beings need work. Whatever the description of that job is, all of that is, let me be clear to you what that is. That's not everything that you're supposed to do. That is the bare minimum that will keep you from getting fired. That's the job description. So if you work for Uber and Uber says what you do is you log into the app, you log in that you're available, you pull up to the spot where the rider is, let them in the car, take them to the spot, let them out, and let the app know that you dropped them off. Those are the bare minimum requirements. Understand something. The bare minimum requirements are all you have to do to not lose your job. The bare minimum requirements are all you have to do to not get fired. All right, that's what keeps you amongst the average, the people who are doing the bare minimum and not getting fired. The saying about a job, I heard an entrepreneur once say this, that a job, you do enough work to not get fired and they pay you just enough that you won't quit. All right, that's what it is. You're doing the bare minimum and they're giving the bare minimum. That's what average people do. And most people are average. That's why the average is the average. If you want to be amongst the average, all you got to do is give the bare minimum that you keep your job and they're going to give you the bare minimum that you won't quit. Just enough that you won't quit the job. Enough that you'll complain about it, but not enough that you're going to do anything about it. Once I was in Vegas and I had a suitcase, a rolling suitcase, and the Uber driver was, I walked out the front door of the hotel and the Uber driver was to my left. I got my rolling suitcase and he saw me coming. I walked right up to his car. I walked right past his driver's side door so I could get to the trunk of his car to put my suitcase in the car. He saw me coming. And as I'm approaching, when I was about 10 feet away from his car, I heard the trunk open. He pushed the button to pop the trunk of his car. He did not get out of the car. I put my suitcase in the car. I closed the trunk. I got in the car and I said to the guy, hey, you're not going to help me with my bags? And he said, you know, they tell us that we're not supposed to. And I didn't say anything else. He didn't say anything else. And he kept driving. He does the whole ride. I end up giving him like a 2 or 3 star. And for some reason, I think Uber contacted me, whatever happened, and they ended up refunding the ride. I wasn't trying to get the money back. It was a $5 ride. I wasn't trying to get the $5 back. I wasn't trying to make the guy look bad, but I was giving him a 3 star because of his attitude. Now, again, some of you who work in service industry might think I'm an asshole for doing that. Well, fuck it. You can think whatever the hell you want to think. This is my show. When he told me that he wasn't supposed to help me with my bags, I understand that maybe it's not required. Maybe Uber tells you, you know, if you were to help somebody with their bags and let's say you pick up somebody's bag and the bag pops or you drop it and something breaks or you drop it on somebody's toe and they decide to sue, they have the right to sue. We face liability issues for that. So maybe you might want to stay away from doing that. I completely understand that. By the letter of the law, maybe it's not always a good idea to help somebody with their bags. But here's the problem with following the letter of the rule. So is everybody else. The letter of the rule is that you're amongst the average. You're giving the bare minimum effort. And what do you expect to get back when you are giving a bare minimum effort? And I understand at the same time, like the guy who I mentioned on the message board earlier, maybe you have done extra before and you've received nothing in return for your extra. You gave extra effort. You did all the extra stuff and you did not get any ROI on your extra effort. Listen, I hear from people saying this all the time. I hear athletes say, well, Dre, I did everything the coach said. I did all the offseason workouts. I worked on my game every day for 6 months straight and I still didn't make the basketball team. So I'm not sure it's even worth the effort to do it again. Here's the issue though. Let me tell you the issue with any of you who feels like going above and beyond, first of all, is not guaranteed to produce anything. Or secondly, that you've done it before and you didn't get anything back. So you're wondering if you should ever do it again. Here's the thing. Without giving that extra effort, you are guaranteed to not get anything extra back. It's a guarantee you'll get nothing. Zero. If you do not give a gratuitous effort, you will not receive a gratuity. The extra effort that you give, the gratuitous effort, here's what it does. It qualifies you to receive extra. Qualifies. You want to hear that word? Qualifies you to receive extra. I've been creating content online for over 15 years. I have given and given and given above and beyond many, 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 many times. Too many times for me to say many all the times that I've done it. Now, have there been times where I've gone above and beyond and given extra to an individual person, to an audience, to a platform? Absolutely. Have all of those times produced an above and beyond ROI? Hell no. But had I not given that extra, would I ever be qualified for the times when it did produce an above and beyond ROI? Hell no. This is the way that it works. Going above and beyond, going the extra mile, qualifies you to receive more. It does not guarantee that you receive more. It qualifies you to receive more. If you do not want to risk the extra effort because you're not sure you're going to get a return on investment, you are working in the wrong job. You're doing the wrong thing. When I was trying to get on playing ball, I did extra. I went to more exposure camps than I ended up signing contracts in my career. I had a 9-year career. I went to more exposure camps than I signed contracts. That's a fact. Meaning, some of those exposure camps did not produce a return on investment. However, had I not gone to those exposure camps, I would have never got any return on any investment because there would have been no investment in the first place. You understand how that works? Napoleon Hill once said that if you're working at a job and you feel like going the extra mile is not going to produce anything ever, then that means you need to go elsewhere. You're working at the wrong job. Quit. If you feel like you're giving more to your job or your anything, your audience, your whatever, than what you're receiving back, maybe you're just giving it in the wrong place. You're the fool because you stayed there. I would say maybe 10% of the population fits into that category. I would say the other 90%, you either A, are just not that good as you think you are, and the few times you have received extra, it fooled you into believing that it's owed to you, or B, you just need to change your attitude. Your skills are fine. Your attitude is shit. That's why you're receiving shit returns. Now, you got to figure out which one is you. Point number two. Today's topic is why life is giving you the bare minimum. The vending machine of life. I did an entire section on this in my book, Work on Your Game, which if you do not have, go to workonyourgamebook.com. I did a whole section on this whole concept of the vending machine of life. And I also did an audio masterclass on it. Episode number 58 of this show. Episode 58, the vending machine of life. How do the vending machines work? Everybody here has used a vending machine before, yes? How does a vending machine work? You walk up to the machine, you identify what you want out of the machine, whether that's a drink or a type of snack, right? Then what do you do? What do you do next? Once you identify what you want out of the vending machine, put the money in the machine. Then what do? You tell the machine what you want, and then the machine gives you what you want. Notice the order of operations. First, you got to pay the machine. Then you get the snack. You don't get the snack first, then you pay the machine. No, you pay first, then you get the snack. But every once in a while in life, the machine malfunctions. Any of you ever dealt with a malfunctioning vending machine? You put the money in, but then nothing comes out. You push the button and the food doesn't come out, or it gets stuck and you're sitting there looking at it and it's right there on the little edge of that wire coil and it's not falling out. What do? Figure it out. Smack the machine a couple times. Shake it a little bit. Bang on it from the side. I've done all of the above, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Or that may help. If you just keep doing that, it maybe it'll eventually work. Or here's something else you could do. You could find a new machine to give your money to. All right, that machine obviously isn't working. That machine owes me $1.50. It stole my money. Now you're going to go find the person in charge in that building and make sure you get your $1.50 back for the broken machine. And then if you still want that snack, you'll go find a different vending machine to give your money to, right? Because you still want something to drink. Or you still want that candy bar. You couldn't get it out of that machine. You got your money back. But you're not going to put your money in that same machine over and over and over again, hoping to get a different result, are you? I mean, you know the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You go find a different machine to give your money to. Because if you keep putting the same money into the same broken machine, expecting a different result, then who's the stupid one? The machine or you? In episode 1148, the topic was going from good to great. If you want to be great, the bare minimum is not even in your vocabulary, or it's not even possible you give the bare minimum if you plan on being great in life. So if you're listening to this, I assume that you want to be great. I assume also that you have heard episode 1148. And if you haven't, then I assume you're going to go look for it right now. If you're a game group member, it's right there, 1148. If you're not a game group member, well, you can go to workonmygame.com/1148. We may have that available a la carte for you by this point. But if not, it will be available soon. The bare minimum is not even in the vocabulary of a great individual or somebody who's on their way to becoming great. And if you find that the external environment, and let me say, you will find when you're on your way to being great or you are great, you'll find an external environment that matches your internal environment. So when you decide that you're going to be great, you're going to be attracted to external environments that match that. You're going to be attracted to people who are like that. You will be pushed away from environments that are not great, environments that are average, and people who are average. People who are not trying to be great, you're not going to want to be around them. You're not going to have the same energy as them. You're not going to be in the same wavelength as those individuals simply because you have a completely different mindset. So if you're planning on being great, the bare minimum is not even something that you would even think about doing. Point number three, today's topic is why life is giving you the bare minimum. Going above and beyond the call of duty, ladies and gentlemen, is not about practical application. For example, let's say that I was the one riding in the Uber in Miami the day that I saw this whole situation going down. I'm a 6'4 black guy. I'm young. I'm spry. I'm in pretty good shape. I got a suitcase with me. And a woman pulling up in a Honda Accord is this small 5 foot nothing Asian woman. She's frail. Maybe she's twice my age. She probably couldn't lift the suitcase any easier than I could lift the suitcase. I could probably lift her and the suitcase into the trunk. Should she get out the car? That's a question for you. I'm half her age, twice her size, in much better shape than her. I'm a man. She's a woman. I'm probably stronger than her. Probably got bigger muscles than her. Probably in better shape. But she's the driver. I'm the rider. Should she get out of the car to help me with my bag? The answer is hell yes. Why? Not because I need her help with the bag. And listen, these women that I saw in Miami this day, they didn't need help with their bags. I mean, shit, they got outside. They got to the corner with the bags. If you can't carry a bag, then you probably shouldn't have that as a bag. They didn't need help with the bags. I wouldn't need help with my bag. That woman should get out the car anyway. Why? Because the courtesy that she shows me that she's thinking about it. And that little thing, that matters. You may be listening to me right now and say, well, that's nothing. Who cares about courtesy? If she isn't going to actually help with the bag, she's not actually going to touch the bag. You're strong enough to put the bag in the trunk already. The bag might already be in the trunk by the time she even gets out of the car, Dre. Why does she need to get out the bag? That's just a little thing. Who even cares about that? Well, see, that mindset is the exact reason why nobody's giving you a tip. That mindset is the exact reason why you're in the position that you're in. Not getting anything extra from life, getting the bare minimum because you're a bare minimum individual. Getting the average because you're average. And it starts with the way that you think, not with what you're doing. Because see, your actions are driven by your thoughts. What we've been talking about the last couple of days, I made this clear. When you think that that's nothing, then you're going to do nothing and you're going to get nothing. Be, do, have. Do you understand how all this connects? I don't need to make this up. This is how all it connects, people. And that little thing matters. Not just to me or to the driver. Or to even this one situation. Because again, I might have already put the bag in the trunk by the time she gets out the damn car. But it matters also to her, the driver. Why? How does it matter to her? Because she's establishing the habit of doing more than what's asked of her. She's establishing the habit of doing more than the bare minimum, of going above and beyond the job description. And as the saying goes, how you do anything is how you do everything. This right here is the difference between the high achievers and the average individuals. See, it's not about the $3 tip because $3 will come and go. All right, you won't remember that. You won't still have that $3 a year from now. It's the habit of going above and beyond consistently. When you go above and beyond consistently, eventually your ROI starts to be much higher than the investment that you're making. I told you a little bit back that I've been creating content for over 15 years. There are times I've gone above and beyond for individual people, for audiences, giving more than I needed to give. And there are times that those things didn't produce anything. But when I kept doing it over and over and over and over again, eventually it produced a tidal wave that couldn't be overcome by anything of me receiving more returns than my investments. But you got to do it consistently, not just when you feel like it, not just when you're hyped up or motivated or excited or you're guaranteed some type of ROI. See, a lot of people are willing to work hard when they think they're going to get something in exchange for it. But are you working hard when you don't know if you're going to get anything for it? Are you working hard because of what you think you're going to get? Or are you working hard because you're a type of person who always gives more than expected of you? That's a good question right there. And that's one you need to think about. Let's recap today's topic while you sit on that one. The topic again is why life is giving you the bare minimum. Point number one, the bare minimum, the stated requirements of a job is not the totality of your job. That's just what you got to do to not get fired. And your boss, your job is paying you just enough that you don't quit. And again, this doesn't have to be a 9-to-5 job. You could be driving Uber. You could be a musician. You could be an athlete. You could be an entrepreneur. your business, your job, whatever, is paying you just enough that you don't stop doing it because you are giving just enough that it doesn't fire you. All right, if that's what you want to do, that's the tug of war that you want to play. All right, you can play at the bottom of the pyramid if you want. All right, you got a lot of company and you'll never be alone. But that's the choice that you got to make. This Uber driver in Vegas told me he's not supposed to help with bags, or they told him he's not supposed to help with bags. I understand. Now, he ended up getting a 2-star rating from me and not even getting paid for that ride because of his attitude. I understand it may not be required. And I understand that maybe you've gone above and beyond before and gotten nothing in exchange for your kindness. Here's the problem, though. Without that extra, you're guaranteed to get zero. The extra qualifies you for receiving extra. If you don't want to risk the effort with no ROI, you're in the wrong job. Go somewhere where you're willing to give extra even before you receive extra. Napoleon Hill said, if you feel like your return on investment for the extra mile isn't worth it, then you're in the wrong place. Go elsewhere. You're the fool because you keep working there. Point number two, the vending machine of life. I talked about this in my book, Work on Your Game, and also episode 58. Put the money in first in the vending machine. You get the food second. Sometimes the machine malfunctions. If that happens, you got to figure it out. Get your money back, bang on the machine, or go find a new machine to give your money to. You wouldn't keep giving your money to the exact same machine expecting to get something back, even though nothing's happened yet, right? Don't keep losing money to the same broken machine. That would make you the fool. Episode 1148, if you want to be great, the bare minimum is not even in your vocabulary. You find an external environment that matches your internal environment. You also find people who match. Point number three, going above and beyond a call of duty is not about practical application. If I'm getting in an Uber, me as a grown man in great shape and tall, if there's some tiny woman driving the car, should she still get out of the car? Hell yeah, she should get out of the car. Why? Not because I need her help, but because the courtesy that she shows me that she's thinking about it. That little thing matters, not just to me, and not just to her, but it also matters to establish for her the habit of doing more than the job is asking of her. That's the difference between a high achiever and an average achiever. It is not about the $3 tip that she might get from me for getting out of the car or might not get. It's about the habit of doing it consistently, which builds the character of doing it consistently, which is the being of going above and beyond consistently. The being, the mindset of doing it all the time, leads to the actions of doing it all the time, leads to what? The results of having it all the time. Work on your game. You hear me talk about the mental game tools, the discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative every single episode of this podcast. But what's the actual roadmap to developing these tools and actually applying them to your life in a systematic way that they stick and they become real for you? Not just something that you heard, not just something that hypes you up, but something that becomes part of who you are. What's the roadmap to actually doing that? I created that blueprint, and it's my flagship course called Bulletproof Mindset. Bulletproof Mindset covers those four tenets of the mental game: discipline, confidence, mental toughness, and personal initiative. And not only how they apply to you, but how you're going to apply them in your life and your interactions with other people, and how to deal with the assaults on your mental game, the attacks on your mental game that come from the outside, of course, and the most insidious attacks on your mental game, the ones that come from within. Go to dreallday.com/bulletproof to get more information, full details, and get started on the Bulletproof Mindset course. That's at dreallday.com/bulletproof for the Bulletproof Mindset course.